Fresno State, what happened last night? Too soon? Okay, next. Okay, yeah, we'll wait. I'm excited. This weekend, we really have the opportunity to help a lot of kids over there in India for just $35 a month. Most of these kids live in extreme poverty. They do not have near the opportunities that we have. We think we've got it rough a lot of times, and I'm not saying we don't go through hard, difficult stuff, but nothing compared to what they are going through on a daily basis. And I've got a little video I want you to see of our own Keith McCann and his lovely wife, Leanne. I want you to watch this quickly.
God had put on my heart to go on a mission trip, and we ended up going to India. That was not really something I'd ever envisioned myself doing before, and I remember even leading my entire India missions team on a devotional of why I didn't want to go to India. And the first few days, we saw a lot of poverty, we saw a lot of suffering, but for me in my mind, it was still those Indian people. And I remember that kind of broke down. We were in a little village called Gandigram, and we were in this tiny church, and there were probably 50 or 60 kids in this church, and they were singing songs to Jesus in both English and also in Hindi. And there was this little girl there, and I had this moment where for a second, that little girl looked just like the daughter that I have back home. And that was the moment where they stopped being those Indian people, and I realized that we're all one people. And so when that broke down, and I broke down, and we got back to the mission that day, some girls had just started at the New Mercy Home there in Demo. And I remember that I felt it on my heart that I needed to sponsor one of them, but it's like, how do you pick? And so I decided to punt. So I called my wife, and I said, sweetheart, here's what happened. And man, I think we need to sponsor a girl. And you need to pick one. And she said, well, how am I gonna pick one? Like, you know, I'm just looking at pictures. And so she picked a little girl named Stuti. And I don't know how else to describe Stuti other than say she's a firecracker.
She was so full of joy. Like, you can see the movement in the picture. You can see her dancing in a still picture. And her smile is just so huge. And I had to sit down because it just, my heart grew so much just seeing how happy she is and how loved she is. And I know that's not how her story started.
It was about a year later, Tommy sent me a picture of Stuti, and it's like night and day, the difference between the Stuti that we first saw that I first saw when I was there, and the Stuti that we saw in that picture. There's so much good going on there. Like, we know that as a part of our sponsorship, that there's amazing things that the mission is gonna do. Just basic stuff that we take for granted here, like Stuti's gonna go to school, and that may not be a guaranteed thing in India without the Mid-India Christian Mission. We know that she's safe, we know that she's protected, we know that she has clothes, that she has access to healthcare, that she has, you know, clean water to drink, that she has, you know, great food. Been there, ate the food, it was amazing. But we know that she's taken care of. For such a relatively small amount of money, the amazing things that Mid-India is able to do, just to give her those basic things that I think any of us would want for our daughters or our sons.
Well, again, it's a great opportunity for us. One of the great qualities of Cross City is that we are known for being generous. We're known for helping those in need, and we have this amazing opportunity to impact the lives of so many kids. Our goal has been, we want to try to get to 500 sponsorships. And we're not asking you to stop giving to the church so you can sponsor a child. We're asking you to prayerfully consider an over and above, beyond what you regularly do, to help these kids over there. That should not be much of a problem for our church. By the way, Tommy, because of his help, Sue Ann and I are sponsoring this girl. Her name is Priyanka, and if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and she's just as cute as you can even imagine. But I do hope that you will prayerfully consider. Out there are tables and places, even in the back here, there's a way where you could consider joining on and sponsoring a child. In the last few years, we have been emphasizing, and I have more than ever in my 30-some years of preaching, in the last few years, I've emphasized more than ever the importance of discipleship. Because no matter where you're at or what you're doing, that really is what it is all about. Our desire is for you to be discipled. I wanted to talk about 5 or 10 minutes about Rooted. I do not have the time. I just want to challenge you. If you have not gone through Rooted, I would love for you to do it. We've had like 800, maybe 900 now go through the Rooted. It's about 10 or 11 weeks. It's done differently, maybe 12 weeks, but it's really a 10-week Bible study with a group, and it has really transformed a good part of our church. And if you haven't done it, I want to challenge you to do that, but that's all about discipleship. The key verse to this whole series is found in the Gospel of Luke. If anyone would come after me, listen to what Jesus said. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Let me just tell you, we Americans don't emphasize that very much. She must deny herself and take up his cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus. I believe with all of my heart there's something deep down within each real disciple of Jesus Christ that indicates they are a true follower of Jesus. I want you to know today, I'm not getting on you. I'm not here to scold you. I'm loud and I yell a lot, but that doesn't mean I'm after you. I'm trying to encourage you the best I can. And what I think God wants for all of his people is to be a true follower. I believe there's something different than being saved and being a disciple. I think a lot of us are going to probably slide into heaven. But I think what the Lord really wants in our limited time down here, and it is very, 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 very limited. You compare it next to eternity. In our limited time down here, what he really wants from those saved people is not that they just be saved, but that they be a true, devoted follower of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this about you, and it, by the way, I was thinking that he says the same thing about these little kids over in India. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every one of you fearfully and wonderfully made by the creator of the universe. Our God is a creative genius. You say, oh, that's just kind of a metaphor back in the Old Testament. That doesn't really mean that much. Friends, science has proved it once again. God was right. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made up of millions of cells. We didn't know this several hundred years ago. But you have all of these little cells, and each cell, each little bitty cell, contains 23 pairs of chromosomes. I've been watching, and it's the only channel I can watch related to CNN, of forensic, have you studied that? Forensic, what do you call it? Investigations? Well, I can't even remember what it's called. Forensic Files is what it's called. And I mean, it's like 15 seasons. I've watched every one, some of them twice. And they study the DNA. That's how most of these people get caught. They leave a little print and a little blood and a little saliva. And they can solve cases 10, 15, 20 years old through DNA. Each chromosome has a deoxyribonucleic acid. I've studied all week trying to say that. And I screwed it up last night, but I've done pretty good today. Basically, it's DNA. It's your genetic makeup. And each strand of DNA is like a twisting ladder. They call it a double helix. And if that's too confusing for you, just remember this. You basically inherit most of your traits from your parents, which has me very concerned about my future. I mean, if one of your parents has brown eyes, the odds are you probably have brown eyes. Chances are, if your daddy was a cowboy, you will probably inherit his Wrangler jeans. That's how it works. And in this series, we are looking at these indicators of a disciple. And today, and I don't have a lot of time to delve very deep below the surface. I wanted to. I literally could preach for about 2.5 hours on this subject, but I'm not going to. I've been under 45 minutes. I know, it's a miracle. But I want you to see these markers, these indicators of what a true disciple is. And today we're looking that a true disciple wants to gather with other believers consistently. A true disciple shows up, okay? Kyle Idleman preached some time ago, and I preached off of his book, Not a Fan, But a Follower, and it kind of messed me up when I read it, because up until then, I thought it was my job as a preacher to get people to be fans. I just felt like I was inspired to do that. But he's making a subtle difference in there, that a fan is basically somebody who cheers on the church, who, you know, rah, rah, shish, kumbah. And that's really not what the Lord is asking us to do. The Lord is asking us to be true, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. We're to lead people to be followers of Jesus Christ. The truth is, we basically have too many fans in the church. And we have too many fans of Jesus Christ. We got a lot of enthusiastic people. Fan, short for fanatic. And I just threw the football, and we're all fanatic about the Cowboys playing the second game this morning against the Giants. You're not going to miss any of it. It's very exciting. I know how you feel. Tingling up and down and all of that. But we're fans of our teams. We love our teams, don't we? Trevor Morgan's not here today because he's with his wife. They're celebrating his wife's parents' 50th wedding anniversary. They're all from Alabama, and they decided a great way to celebrate their 50th is to go to the Alabama-New Mexico Tech game, whatever it is. It's not even a real team. They played Duke last week. Alabama's schedule is ridiculous. It's unbelievable. But that's what they do. I mean, what a waste of money. I mean, you could have gone to dinner, anything, but no. A few years ago, my son graduated, and he said, "Dad, I got an idea for a graduation gift." I knew I was in trouble. And I said, "What's that?" He said, I want to go to Louisiana. I want to go to the Superdome. I want to see the Alabama Crimson Tide play the Oklahoma Sooners in the Sugar Bowl. It was already scheduled." And I said, "Son, that ain't going to happen. We're going to get you a briefcase. Go back to your room." And his mom, you know, changed my mind, and so we went. My brother met us there. Man, we had a great time. We were walking up and down Bourbon Street, and there was all these Alabama fans were dressed up, and they were, this guy, I don't know if you have this picture, there's this guy, he had an Alabama jersey on, and I mean, they had thousands of people. I went up and whispered some stuff into his helmet he'd never heard before, but they were all yelling Roll Tide. I was yelling Roll something else. I can't say it in here. But I mean, it's competition, right? It's just competition. And Oklahoma is better than Alabama. I mean, our lifetime record is 3-2-1. We tied in 1970. We should be 4-2, but we're 3-2-1. And I mean, Alabama, they are sore. They are the worst. They are so indignant. They think they have a right to win everything. One year they lost to Auburn, and some fans went to Auburn and poisoned these two famous trees on this particular corner by the stadium, and they killed these trees, and the guy went to jail. That's what Alabama fans do. When we were at this game, I got home and I watched on YouTube the game we were at, me and Zach. We saw this lady. It's about 3 minutes. You can go to YouTube and watch it. You'll want to. I'm just going to show you 15 seconds of it, okay? Poor loser. And a message coming from my eyes says, "Leave it alone. And I've had people all weekend say, "Is that Tammy Chapman?" No, that is not Tammy Chapman. She was not at the game. That's not her. It's another lady. Will you stand with me? I want to read some scripture. Yeah, we're still at the beginning. You thought you had problems. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brother, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way, open for us, listen to these words, through the curtain. That is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, and I'm going to tell you, I want to talk. Again, I don't have the time. You go back and read this and study this. There are five lettuces in this passage. That's why I've called this message of five heads of lettuce, because these are good for you. Let us, number one, draw near to God with a sincere heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us, number two, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us, number three, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us, number four, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Number five, let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I thank you. You may be seated. Somebody asked me once, Brother David, why should I go to church? I said, well, to see me. And no, I said, no, not really. The truth is, we don't go to church because we are the church. The church is not a place. I mean, we call it the church, Cross City Church. But if you're a member of the church, you are the church. And when you meet with another faithful member of the church, it doesn't matter where you're at, that's the church. And when the church started, of course, they didn't have any buildings and they met in houses. That was the church. Then came persecution and they had to meet in hideaways and underground and everything else. That was the church. Where two or more are gathered, that is the church. And I think the Lord is trying to inspire us today. That's what I believe with all of my heart. That if you really want to be a Christ follower, a fully devoted follower, a disciple, you've got to have a heart for gathering with other believers. So number one in your notes, disciples gather in obedience to God. It says not to forsake the assembly. That's what God's word commands. It's not a suggestion. Hey, if you feel like it. Hey, if you're not doing anything else. Hey, if you're totally free. That might be a good... That's not what it's saying. It says, do not forsake the assembly. A lot of people only go to church three times in their life. They're christened as a child by their parents. They get married in the church, and they have their funeral in the church. In other words, some people only go to church to be hatched, matched, and dispatched. James Davis wrote this, it's pretty good. How important is it for a Christian to be faithful to the local assembly? Here's his answer. If a person is willingly and consistently forsaking the assembling of himself or herself, then he or she cannot claim to be true to Jesus Christ. Wow. Jesus Christ and the church are not identical, but they are inseparable. The Hebrew writers five times says, let us, let us, let us. There's a healthy head of lettuce that says in verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit. Everybody say habit, because that's what it is. It's true today, and it was true back there when this was written 2,000 years ago. Some people were just like, eh. I posed on Facebook this question Tuesday morning. I didn't think anybody would respond, and hundreds of people did. About what's a good excuse for skipping church? Some people didn't understand the question and went into other areas, but I won't get into that. And most people, their answers were brilliant and honest and true. Some people were hilarious, trying to be comedians, as always, and that was funny, a lot of funny stuff. But really, the reality is stuff happens. Life, family, sick, travel, football. Out of the habit, people said it. Lazy, unmotivated, didn't feel that, didn't, a lot of stuff on there. The Bible says it's a bad habit. It is a bad habit. Look up bad habits and be careful, but they're, you know, smoking and overspending and gambling and drinking and drugs and complaining and being chronically late and being hooked on junk food. And the new one for this generation is being super connected. That means too much tweeting, too much Facebook, too much Instagram, too much everything else. And the Hebrew writer is saying for some people back then and for some people today, it is a bad habit to miss church. I'm just telling you. You consider yourself a disciple, a true devoted follower of Jesus Christ, then you're going to have a heart that says, you know, when they gather, I want to gather too. I want to be there too. That's what a disciple does. It's part of their DNA. It's part of your makeup. I wanted to show, I don't have time, our statistics. Our church, we run about 4,000 on the weekends and at least 1,000 online watching live. We're always glad to have people watching online and everything else, live streaming us. So that's awesome. Well, it is awesome. But when you get to thinking about it, we probably have 8,000, maybe even 10,000 who probably claim this is their home, this is their church, this is where they belong. So if you consider that, then that means anywhere from a half to two-thirds of the people who claim Cross City as their home don't have enough, I don't know, you fill in the blank, to get here on the weekend. Huh. What if you had a school? What if you went to Fresno Christian, a private school, or Buchanan, or Central, anywhere, and you had 3,000 students enrolled and only 1,500 showed up? You think you'd have a little problem? Yeah, you'd have a problem. It's the parents. It's not the school. It's the parents. It's the students. The Lord is saying, if you're going to follow me, then follow me. If you're going to love me, then the thing you got to do is show up. Woody Allen, comedian, said 80% of success is showing up. He said a lot of things. He also said, my one regret in life is that I am not someone else. I mean, he said all kinds of stuff. But there's something true about that. You show up, part of the work has already started, part of the work is already done. Your chances of success have increased greatly. If you don't show up, it can't happen. And yet, we struggle. We like to watch television and sports and go and lay in bed and the newspaper and do nothing. And we don't want to go through the routine. Who wants to take another shower? And who wants to do all of that stuff? I get it. Listen, it's not that I don't get it. I'm just trying to tell you what I think the Bible's trying to tell you. If you want to be a true, devoted follower, not just a fan, not out of rah-rah when you show up, rah-rah, yeah, I got it. Yeah, yeah. If you want to be a true follower, you got to show up. I'm just telling you, if you don't, don't be surprised you wake up one day and you feel a little spiritually empty. Maybe directionless, or none of this makes any sense. If you show up and you get into that habit, I'm telling you, good things are going to happen spiritually. Disciples gather, number two, to worship the Lord. We show up here because we're different than other groups. We're not like the Kiwanis Club. We do some of those things, but we don't do most of those things, and they don't do most of the things. When I first moved here, I did a wedding at the Moose Lodge. That was an eye-opening experience, I'll tell you that. These guys like to gather, women like to gather. Well, over here in the frat house, we got guys from all over the community coming in there and just gathering and sharing coffee, sometimes playing dominoes. It's all good. We like to gather. We like to connect. It's so important. That's why we have, one of the reasons we have life groups and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, the main reason the church gathers is different than all the other groups. The reason we gather as a church is to honor and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our main goal. That doesn't happen at Kiwanis. Hebrews 10:22, the second head of let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. I've shared, again, I don't have time, but we talked about some time ago, not long ago, about if you were living in Jerusalem or in Israel and you wanted to go to the temple, the odds of you getting close to God and his presence were so small. I mean, a lot of folks couldn't even get in, and women had a barrier, they could only go so far, and the men had a barrier, they could only go so far, and the tribe of Levi could only go so far, and the priest could only go so far, and no one could really enter in to the Holy of Holies, the place where they said the Shekinah glory was. The glory of God was in this room, and it had this thick curtain. They said it was as thick as a hand. That's a thick curtain. And no one could go in there except one person, the great high priest. He could only go in there for a few hours one day a year. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the curtain was ripped. And interestingly, it wasn't ripped from the bottom to the top. It wasn't like there were four guys down there going, okay, Jesus died, let's try to rip this big curtain. No, it ripped from the top to the bottom. It was symbolic, and it was clear that God is the one that ripped it. Why would he rip that curtain? Because the great sacrificial lamb went to the cross for you and for me. And one of the reasons he did that wasn't just to get you into heaven, but it was to get you in to his presence. All of the barriers are gone. You can enter into his presence, and I'm telling you, one of the best ways to enter into his presence is with other believers. It's so much easier, and we are here today, and we are free to enter in, and the way to do that is with other believers, gathering with other believers. Psalm 122 says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You ought to write that down. If you don't have that memorized, you ought to memorize that. A modern-day translation is basically, hey, they said it's time to go to church, and I said, yippee! Man, that's exciting! That's what that says. I rejoiced when they said, it's temple time. Do you rejoice when somebody says, hey, we got to get to church. It's already 6:15. We can get there by the time the sermon starts. Does that put a little smile on your face, or does that kind of just bring you down a little? I mean, that's really the issue. When I was a kid, I've told some of you this before, but I had a pretty bad drug problem. My parents dragged me to church every time the doors were open. They dragged me to church every Sunday morning. Is it drug or dragged? They dragged me to church. My English isn't very good either. On Sunday nights. Sunday nights? We only have Sunday nights. They dragged me to church on Wednesday nights. I had to leave the football field. Hundreds of football players. Yeah, don't hit me. I'm going to church. I want to tell you, as an adult, I'm really glad I had a drug problem. I'm glad they dragged me to church every single time the doors were open. Wasn't optional for me as a sixth grader, as an eighth grader, as a 12th grader. It wasn't optional for me. I posed that question on Facebook, and a couple of those answers were, somebody indicated that their children don't go to bed on time on Saturday night, and so they sleep in, and so they can't get. Parents, why don't you tell your children that God created and gave to you? We're all going to church this weekend, Saturday night or Sunday morning, so we're going to bed now and we're getting up at this and we're going to have a little breakfast and we're going to get cleaned up and we're going to go to church and we're going to worship the Lord together. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord. I'd love to read it all. Worship with gladness. Come before him. Joyful songs. It's supposed to be an upbeat thing. We are his people, as he says. The sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and courts praise. Enter thanks to him. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. True followers of Jesus want to get together because they want to worship the Lord. Number three, we gather together to encourage one another. We don't just come together to worship. We come together to encourage one another. And listen to me. I need you to hear this. I don't have a lot of time. If you're not here, I cannot encourage you. And if I'm not here, you can't encourage me. Golfed about 5 weeks ago with a staff member. After that, we went into a Mexican restaurant, as is my daily habit. And I saw some guys who are church members here. They are involved in the bicycle ministry of fixing and repairing. And Big Al was with them. And we went over and said hi and talked for a few minutes. And then we sat down. And when our bill came, they had already left. And they said, there is no bill. I was like, oh. They said, yeah, they got it for you. And I said to this guy, we should have got their bill. What were we thinking? And I later that day, maybe 2 or 3 hours later, I got a text from Al. And it was so encouraging. I'm telling you, I sent him back. I sat down and I sent him back a text. And I just explained it to him how much that meant to me. I needed that text. It was a grand slam. And I can't reveal everything, you know, that I'm going through. I'm not Leto. I can only tell so much. I have some boundaries. And, but I'm telling you. That text, it kind of brought me to tears. I needed that. I needed that encouragement. And I'm telling you, when you're here, your presence encourages me.
We love you, Dave.
And I ran in last week to a lady, Diana Smith, who has been struggling for some time with cancer. And I haven't seen her in months. And I got to greet her, got to encourage her, put my arm around her. And I tried to say something, you know, upbeat, as positive as I could. And I'm just telling you, when I was driving home, I thought, you know, I didn't say the right, I didn't know. I felt more encouraged than I felt like I encouraged her. But that's how it works. If something's wrong and you're sick or you're physically unable to get to church, we love for you to watch on live stream. We love for you to watch it sometime during the week. That blesses us. We're very, very excited. But if you're physically able to be here, you should be here. You should be here. Because that's the only way you're going to get encouragement. You're not going to get encouragement sitting at home watching us on the couch. It's not going to happen. The best way to get encouragement is to be here, see one another, greet one another. I was thinking of a way to describe our church, and I've done all of these surveys, and I've looked at all of the data. Listen, I do it full time. I'm fully engaged. And I came up with four words to describe Cross City: happier and healthier than most. If you count and, that's five words. Happier and healthier than most. That's a fact. In fact, if you do most of these grading things, we're literally in the top 5, maybe even 4% of all of the churches in America. And that is good news, and I love that, and I'm excited about that. But I got to be honest with you also, there's some bad news about our statistical stuff. And that is, as a percentage of with our resources of making disciples, that percentage is pretty low. Because a disciple who is a truly devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you know what they do? They're obsessed with going out and getting other people to come to Christ, and then they teach that person not just to come to Christ, but to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. And then you have two disciples who are going out and reaching other people and turning them and teaching them to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And if you look at our numbers, the percentage is not very good. That's why we need to be here, because we can encourage one another to get to that level. I heard about an old deaf man in a small village who faithfully walked over a mile every Sunday morning to church. Small, tiny church. No one there to do sign language like we have in this service. Never heard any of the songs, never heard any of the messages, but he was there every day, walked over a mile. He'd greet people and read his Bible and was patient, would walk back home. One day somebody signed to him and asked him this question: why do you do it? Why do you go through all that trouble, walk all that way? You can't hear the song, you can't hear the sermon. You can't even, why would you do that? Why don't you just stay home and read your Bible and sing a little song and do your own little magic worship? He replied, "I go because I want my neighbors to know which side I'm on." Do you ever think of that? Do your neighbors know which side you're on? Do you have a pattern that says to them, "I'm going to the Lord's house today and every weekend, same time, same place. I'm on the Lord's side"? I'm telling you, when you show up, your presence is an encouragement, not just to me, but to everyone around you. Number four, I've got to hustle. We gather to motivate ministry, not just to motivate, but to motivate people to do ministry. This head of lettuce, this next one, 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on. All you Clovis folks know what a spur is, right? And you got to dig that in a little bit. You got to kick that thing. You got to spur one another on. That's another reason we gather. Well, what are we spurring each other on to do? To do good works toward love and toward good deeds. You got to be reminded of that over and over and over again. That's why most of the world doesn't go to church, and most of them don't do anything out of love, and most of their deeds are not good deeds. That's what we need. Spur one another on to loving acts of kindness. A lot of people think the church is like a cruise ship. You lounge around. Discipleship, they equate it with cruise ship. We're going to relax. We're going to let the staff work really, really hard to serve us, right? Right? And I'm not scolding you. I love you. But you're part of this Americana culture. You're a part of the consumer mindset, right? If you looked at the three of these gals that left our church years ago, they haven't been to our church in a decade, and yet they ripped our church on that survey. Why did they do that? Because in their mind and in their heart, we didn't meet their particular need the way they imagined we should meet their need. And that we're all like that. We have that consumer mindset. I'll go if the music is good. I'll go if it's not too loud. I'll go if they move around. If they move around too much, I'm going down the street. There's only 20 churches on this street. You gotta meet me on meet my needer. I'm out. That's how we do it. We're consumers. I remember a long time ago there was this president. About the time I was born, he gave an inaugural speech. He said something unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he was a Democrat. Never get political in church. Can't help myself. He literally said these words to the nation. Ask not. No, sorry, I won't do it. Ask not. Just stop right there. Ask not. Don't ask. Don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Imagine a politician standing up and asking that today. We're not here to give you whatever you want free of charge. We're here to ask you to give of yourself to your country. I'm just telling you, it doesn't mesh today. It doesn't work today because we live in a culture where we are demanding we get our needs met. And I'm just telling you, that's really not in here. But we live in this modern age. If the church meets my needs, I'll attend. If the worship leader wears a t-shirt, I might not attend. If I don't like the band, I go somewhere else. If I don't like the jokes of the entertainer, I'm sorry, pastor, I'll go somewhere else. I can go find a different cruise ship, I mean church. But really, the ship that we should consider in discipleship is really about battleship. We should go to our stations and we should get involved. And Brent's going to talk about this, I think, next week, about getting involved and serving. That's what discipleship is about. We encourage one another to acts of love. We encourage one another to get involved. But we get involved and we serve one another. We man our stations. I hope you have found that at this place, at Cross City. I had some people in the between services come up to me and say, I do this, I've done this for a living, can I somehow use this to serve people in this church? I said, sign your name up, give me your phone number, because that's what this is about. It's not about coming in and enduring the long message and sitting in the same place for an hour and 20 minutes. I can't do it. Number five, we gather because the Lord is coming back. We gather to anticipate the Lord's return. When the early church met, they kept saying this phrase. It was an Aramaic phrase. They would say to one another, they, like Hawaii, when they entered a room, they said it, and when they left the room, they said it. It was Maranatha. Maranatha. What did the phrase mean? The phrase meant the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. And those early believers, they didn't know it was going to be 2,000 years. They thought he could come any day, any moment. And they wanted to encourage the other believers. Maranatha, we may not see you again. Next time we see each other, we might be in heaven. Maranatha, Lord's coming back. Lord's coming back. Boy, we ought to greet one another like that. Maranatha, 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 the Lord's coming back. The time is short. Jesus is going to return. The final head of lettuce. Let us hold unswervingly to the day of hope, the day that the hope we profess, and all the more, not less, but all the more as you see the day approaching, as we prepare to close. I'm telling you, friend, the day is approaching. I don't know when he's coming back, but I believe with all of my heart we're 1 week closer right now than we were last weekend. We're 1 day closer. We're 1 hour closer than we were in the first service. I believe with all of my heart, this world needs a revival. This country needs a revival. California needs a revival. Fresno and Clovis, this valley needs a revival. You say, how will we know if we ever have a spiritual awakening? Because you'll see prayer groups coming up, not just in churches, but in homes and in businesses and in neighborhoods. That's an indicator there's a spiritual awakening going on. We need that. But one of the other great indicators will be church attendance goes up. The national trend is just going a little less and a little less and a little less. It's not like this, but boy, it's not going up. And I'm telling you, when there's an awakening, God gets his hands on this country, people's hearts and minds, I'm telling you, you're going to see a surge of unprecedented levels. I want you to examine yourself for a moment. That's why we're here. Do you think deep down that you have this genetic trait of showing up consistently? I want to kind of alert you to the coming weeks that not only should we be attenders, but we should eventually, that involves into inviters. That's what disciples do. I mean, it's not itself. Once you're a fully devoted, then your heart is, well, then I've got to get somebody else in. And I've got to get them not just in. I want them to be a fully devoted follower. In your bulletin, we have this little handout. I'm not going to spend 30 seconds on it. Last year, we prayed for one about this time of year. We put it on crosses, and we ask you to find and pray for one person. They might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had so many great stories that evolved out of that. I had somebody sent me a whole thing last night on Facebook messaging about they had the picture of the person they were praying for. And they told me about this female. She came to Christ some time ago, and then other people came to Christ in her family because she came to Christ. Would you write down a name? We're not going to put it on a cross. Take it with you. Put it in your Bible. Put it on a mirror. My wife has a name from last year. It's still on the mirror in our bathroom. I see it every day of the one person that she's praying for. I think she's praying for more, but that one name is on that mirror. That's what disciples do. They're fully devoted. They don't just attend. They become inviters. They want to take that next step. In a few weeks, we're going to have Celebration Sunday. We're calling it an anniversary, but we just want to have a party. We don't want to really look back so much. We just want you to have an excuse to bring somebody to church. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to have food. We're going to go down different rides and all this stuff. But it's just an excuse to help you invite somebody to church, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want you to leave here today feeling like your genetic makeup is that you're a missionary. You're an evangelist. You are on the church staff, whether you are paid or not. You are here to get other people part of the family of God. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. If you need to give your life to Christ today, don't waste this opportunity. You need somebody to pray with you, don't waste this opportunity. You want to recommit your heart and life today, don't waste this moment. Let's stand. Let's sing together.